Welcome to another edition of MMA Rated Radio, brought to you as always by Crooked Jaw. For more, check them out at crookedjaw.net. Ariel Helwani back talking today with one of the best lightweight fighters in the world, Joe Daddy Stevenson. Joe returns to the octagon in July at UFC 86 to take on the dangerous Gleison Tibau. What up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, it's great to be talking with you. And before we get started, let me just wish you congratulations. I hear you're a daddy once more, a birth of a new son, right?
Yeah, another boy. This is number four. It gets hard. We had a bunch of girls' names, you know, ready, and it just didn't really work out the way we wanted.
So you really are Joe Daddy. You have four kids right now at a pretty young age.
Yep. Well, 25. I'm 25 years old. So that, but with four kids, I'm looking at like I'm 37 probably.
Yeah, man. I'm 25 years old and I got none. So don't, you know, you're a pretty young guy for four kids. But that's awesome. Are you gonna go for more or is that it?
I don't know. My wife and I were thinking about maybe adopting a girl. But for the most part, I think we're pretty much done because she keeps telling me to go get fixed.
All right. Well, that's a little more info than we needed. But, you know, it's always interesting to find out from a father and who's a fighter and who has kids, and they've had to sort of come up the hard way and sort of put that food on their kids' table and work for it and sort of put themselves out there and in this dangerous sport. Now that you're a father and you have kids, and everyone hears how different it is when you have kids and that you never love something so much, would you maybe push or try to encourage your kids to go into the fight game, or now that you're involved in it, would you rather them not?
Well, to tell you the truth, I want my kids to, you know, do whatever makes them have fun. I mean, whatever they're going to have a good time at, enjoy doing. If they want to be a teacher, you know, all I want to do is push them to be the best of what they want to be.
So you would have you would not be against them being a fighter?
No, if they want to be a fighter, you know, I'd help guide them and give them as much knowledge that I have to it, you know, to help better them. But other than that, I mean, if they wanted to do tap dancing, you know, I would be like, all right, well, time to put on the shoes.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about the fight game. You've got a fight coming up in July against Gleison Tibau. The last time we saw you in the octagon was an amazing battle against BJ Penn over Newcastle at UFC 80. Are you officially over that fight, meaning, you know, you're there, you're fighting for the title, and now you sort of have to regroup and work your way back up the ladder? Have you officially put that fight behind you?
The way I look at it, I'm fighting for the title again in my head, you know, because to get another title shot, I gotta beat Gleason and not just beat him in a, you know, close decision. I've gotta go out there and finish him.
But that said, though, like, you know, when a fighter has a last fight and it's a devastating loss, does it play tricks on your mind in the sense that you're like still playing it up and you're, you know, every day in training, you're trying not to do same mistake twice, get caught in a submission or whatever? Have you officially moved on from it, you know, a few months later?
Well, other than this is a funny story. I got my hair done, you know, I got it lined up and stuff, and the dude had cut the scar because it hadn't healed all the way.
Wow.
And so it was bleeding again. And I saw that, and that did a little bit kind of perturb me. But other than that, man, I try to be very strong-minded, and my practices have been phenomenal. I've been having great practices. I got my new school here in Victorville. I moved back to Victorville, and under Mark Lehman, I opened up a Cobra Kai. So now it's just about training every day and having fun with it.
Have you watched the fight, you know, a couple months later?
About 30 times.
Okay, about 30 times. Is it a type of fight where you're like, okay, you know, just things didn't work out, or is there something where you're like, man, if I would have done this and I see this opening here, it was for the time?
I practiced to go into his power hand, his right, because I thought his left hook was more dangerous. And he never really throws his right. However, in this fight, I guess, you know, he was practicing his right hand a lot more, according to his boxing coach and stuff. So, yeah, in that aspect, a little bit. But to tell you the truth, I would have just went into camp. I started that fight 10 weeks out. Before that 10 weeks, I was just relaxing with the family and stuff, trying to get as much family time as I could. But now that I look at it, you know, maybe training and coming into camp in just pristine shape would have been the best idea, I think.
We hear so
other
much.
Other than that...
You go ahead.
Oh, what?
Go ahead.
Oh, well, other than that, I think, you know, a fight's a fight. Anyone can win any given day, depending on, you know, luck and preparation meeting at the same time.
We hear so much about the new BJ Penn, how he's sort of back to his old prodigy self, and he's, you know, has this fire under him, and he wants to prove that he's the best, and he's this, you know, like ultra-human athlete that no one can beat him in terms of cardio now, and he's so flexible and all that stuff. Were you impressed with BJ, or is this all something that's been sort of fabricated by his camp?
Well, to tell you the truth, you know, in my book it goes – Dan, Randy, and then BJ, those are all people, you know, that I, you know, look and want to aspire to be. So honestly, he beat me on that day and was in great shape, you know, and did a great job. I mean, I can't take anything away from him. I mean, the camps can say what they want to say, but honestly, it's up to the fighter in the long run, and he beat me, so evidently it's true.
Honestly, though, what did you think when he licked the blood off his gloves? That had to creep you out a little bit.
I didn't see it. I didn't see that until after the fight and watched it on the videotape. I was pissed off for a minute. I was like, oh, you jerk.
Have you seen a guy do that before?
Well, yeah, he does that.
Oh,
he's done that a few times.
Really?
Well, it's cool, though. I mean, we all pass a blood test.
Yeah.
So I guess it's okay.
Still, though, I mean, that's definitely, I mean, I'm sure he's sort of giving you a little respect, though, by doing it, or do you take it more as an insult?
I was more emotionally pissed off that I lost at that time, so, I mean, I didn't really care about anything. Then after when I saw it, yeah, I freaked out for a second. I was like, dude, and then, you know, my father-in-law is Hawaiian, and all of my wife is Hawaiian, and he was like, he's a savage. I was like, fair enough.
Yeah, I think after that fight, despite the loss, the emotion that you showed, if anyone wasn't a Joe Stevenson fan before that fight, they definitely, I mean, how can you not pull for a guy who just lays it all out there? And I think a lot of people appreciated that. Now that you sort of have to regroup here, if you would lay things out perfectly, how many fights do you think you need to win in a row consecutively to try to get back to that title shot?
I think that depends on who and how impressive. So it could be as little as 2 to 3. It could be as many as 4 to 6 with all the way this division is stacked. All I know is when I get that shot, I'm going to take it and run with it.
Your next opponent, and you talk about who you have to beat, is Gleison Tibau. And, you know, no disrespect to Gleison. Definitely the guy prior to his loss to Tyson Griffin had won several in a row. One of the top, you know, up-and-coming stars in this game. Maybe a lot of UFC fans have yet to sort of feel him out. But I was actually quite surprised that you were matched up with him. You see, like, Kenny Florian now with Roger Huerta. You know, the big-name fighters are being matched up, especially in this lightweight division. You're coming off of a title shot. I thought you would have faced maybe a Tyson Griffin type of type of opponent, someone who's coming off of a big win as opposed to a loss. Were you surprised at that as well?
No. Like, I've never asked for a fight except for I asked for, like, Chris Brennan, like, I think my very first fight. So I've never asked to really fight anyone. And it's always offered. And then Tyson was offered. But the whole thing is Tyson's a good friend of mine. Not that, you know, one day we wouldn't fight, but him and Gray are two guys that I, you know, unless it's for a title fight and we're making a lot of money off of it, there's no reason to fight. I mean, we bled together in camp. We trained our butts off together. I think I helped him for Gleason. So
Tyson was offered to you and you said you'd rather not fight your friend.
Yeah. I mean, emotionally it's hard. Up until this point, you know, BJ was the closest person to me that I've ever fought, whereas Tyson's a great friend, and that just would have... It doesn't make any sense right now.
I was actually talking about this yesterday about friends who fight, and it's always, I find it interesting because some guys say that, you know, you'd be a bad friend if you turn down a fight because you're taking away payday, but others say, you know, you can offer me as much money in the world, I'll never fight a friend. So I guess you sort of fall under the latter category.
Yeah, not so much. It's not like we wouldn't fight. Just, I mean, for
more.
A world title and a lot of money, yeah, we would definitely fight, you know. But for you know, just for a who's who, there's so many guys out here that we could fight individually and to represent ourselves. And, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. In this division, you start naming off people, and you're like, wow. I mean, it's just stacked.
Yeah, it is absolutely stacked. Where do you sort of see yourself fitting right now? I mean, how much does a loss to a guy like BJ Penn, let's not forget he's one of the pound-for-pound the greatest in the world, how much does that sort of drop you down in your mind to where you have to sort of work back up?
Well, first of all, in your mind, you always need to be the best. So I'm still on top.
Okay.
I just stumbled a second. And then, I mean, in rankings, I don't know. I don't really check the internet too much. I think my MySpace a little bit, and my website, just Stevenson, and the school's website. You know, cage camp. But other than that, I stay off of it because when I first started, I remember the headache that I would get from watching people say, oh, yeah, this, that, and other. And I mean, emotionally, it does hurt you. You're like, wait a minute, you jerk. You know, it doesn't really matter if it's a 13-year-old kid with, you know, acne, or if it's, you know, a 27-year-old guy that, you know, thinks he can do it, or someone that's really legit,
right,
and, you know, has an opinion. It still hurts. Words hurt.
All right, well, how about T-Bow, your opponent in July? This is an American Top Team member, great Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner. What are you expecting from him? Are you expecting this, given your background and his, this one to be on the ground most of the time?
I'm honestly expecting this fight to be on the ground. You know, where on the ground? I'm thinking he's got powerful double legs. Sometimes he'll be on my back. Sometimes he'll be on his. And just waiting for the right opportunity to let everything go is where this fight's going to be won.
Is there someone, if you should, you know, get by T-Bow, is there someone that you would like to test your strengths against to, you know, quickly move up, back up that, you know, fictitious ladder that we keep talking about?
Honestly, you know, then after this fight, what happened is I will not pick up my phone for a week. I'm going to spend some time with my family, go back to my school over here, and then I'm going to probably go for another week and do a vacation. And then after that, I always call Joe, and I'm like, hey, Joe, so what's next? And then, you know, he normally would tell me.
So you,
and I'll be like, cool, let's do it.
You leave it up to him? You never sort of give any suggestions?
No, to me, this is our job, you know, and whoever he places in the front, there's a reason. You know, if I can go ask for this guy, but to him, Joe Silva thinks, you know, that guy's really not biting at the chomp, or doesn't have enough exposure, or isn't really good enough, or this, that, and the other, then, you know, he'll give me a fight, but I'm not really stepping up for Joe,
right,
and the UFC. So who the UFC offers, I tend to take in consideration and agree most of the time.
Calling people out in the lightweight division is sort of the flavor of the day. You saw Kenny Florian do it after his last victory, calling out Roger Huerta. Now it seems as they're going to get it on at UFC 87. If you had your druthers, though, is there someone out there that you would like to fight?
I don't know, Aoki.
Okay.
You know, the Japanese guy.
Right, of course.
I think he's an awesome fighter. I think that would be a good fight. That's about it, to tell you the truth.
But obviously he's not in the UFC, so that one.
Yeah, I know, because actually I did ask for him
right,
a while back.
Really? Okay, well, maybe we could start a rumor now that you're going over to Dream.
Yeah, that will work. I just resigned, man.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to get you in trouble. All right, Joe, well, thank
yeah,
you.
Thanks, I'm going to send you some email.
Yeah, exactly. But he was victorious in his last bout in Dream. So, you know, maybe we can, you know, get a movement of him getting signed over by the UFC. But nevertheless, one fight at a time, UFC 86, you're going up against Gleison Tebow, and it should be another great one. We look forward to seeing you back in the octagon again. Great performance in January despite the loss, and continued success along the way.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.